Roughly 200 million people live within a day's drive of next Monday's eclipse, which means we could see one of the largest, if not the largest, single exodus of humans across U.S. territory in history. But those eclipse chasers will also be joined by others from around the world, and they'll be traveling much farther to stand in the shadow of the moon for just a few minutes. Terry Cuttle is en route from Australia to the U.S. to watch eclipse number 16. So where are you going to be for this one? Where in the United States?
Well, I'm heading for Idaho. It's a place that has reasonably good weather prospects. It's no guarantee, of course, and I need a bit of flexibility. So I'm headed for Idaho, basically in the eastern side, but I've also got a backup plan in terms of the weather isn't particularly favorable, and I've got an option to head either east or west from there.
I mean, that's the thing about an eclipse. It's basically quite simple. The moon blocks the sunlight. Does it feel different based on where you watch? Or is it just an eclipse, no matter where you watch it?
Oh, no. It can be very different depending on where you are along the path, whether you're close to the center of the path or whether you're close to the edge. Now, when you go close to the center, then you get the maximum duration. But if you go out towards the edge, you get a lesser duration, but you also get other spectacular events. Just before it starts, you get a shimmering display around the edge of the sun called Bailey's Beads, and then a diamond ring when the last little point of the sun shines through a valley on the edge of the moon. You get those effects much more dramatically. For example, in 2013, I was in Gabon, which is on the west coast of Africa, and I was right on the edge of the eclipse path. And the sight was absolutely dramatic. Firstly, as the shadow was coming towards me, and I could see the edge of the shadow, but also as the eclipse went through, I could see the chromosphere, the crimson glow around the edge of the sun for the entire eclipse. It was absolutely dramatic. Incredible. So, yes, it really makes a difference whether you're on the center line and get a longer duration or you go to the edge. You get less duration, but you get some more spectacular effects.
I'm just curious, in Gabon, how many eclipse tourist chasers were there with you?
Where I was, there was only one other group. I was out on the beach and I was just surrounded by locals. It's one of the features of an eclipse when you go to a place, you get to meet with the locals. And I spent some time in the local village there before the eclipse. I handed out eclipse glasses and a whole pile of them came out onto the beach and we shared the eclipse together. And they really add to the atmosphere. Oh, they got so excited.
You've seen 15 eclipses from Svalbard, which is near the North Pole, to French Polynesia. What's been the most difficult eclipse to get to?
Well, the ones in the polar region, of course, are pretty difficult, and it's pretty cold when you get there. Also, got to see one in Antarctica. One of the things is that this can be expensive, so you've got to be very careful about costs. Going to Antarctica, for example, there was the opportunity to go on an icebreaker, which was way out of the ballpark as far as the cost that I could afford. But there was a flight out of Melbourne that went down to see the eclipse, and that was something different, seeing it from an aeroplane.
So what was that like? I mean, do you get to kind of spend more time in the path of totality if you're moving under the shadow?
Watching an eclipse from an aircraft has a unique advantage that the aircraft will usually travel along the eclipse path. It's actually traveling with the moon shadow, so you get an extended view of the eclipse. But the view itself was so spectacular because in the first instance, we're in the clear polar air, but also at 10,000 meters, you're looking through so much less atmosphere that looks so much clearer as well.
What keeps you coming back for more, Terry? You're on to eclipse number 16 next Monday.
Yeah, firstly, I suppose it's the pure spectacle of it. It's spine tingling. It's like nothing you've experienced before. But I like the photographic challenge. You only get one go at it. For the last 6 months, I've been really focusing on getting my photography program together. And a lot of it's pre-programmed. You can't afford to be fiddling with your camera during the eclipse. And the satisfaction, you know, if you nail those photographs, you know, you really really enjoy it. But it's a travel too. You know, I like going to unusual places. So it's a real combination of all those things.
Terry Cuttle is an eclipse chaser from Australia who's heading to the U.S. to watch next Monday's eclipse. He's been speaking with us from Brisbane. Terry, thanks a lot. Good luck.
You too. Thanks, Marco.
You can see Terry Cuttle's photos of eclipses over the Great Wall of China and in his native Australia, all at PRI.org.